Oh, good. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi, James.
I hear and a doggy saying hi too. I love when doggies say hi. Sometimes we have doggies, sometimes we have babies, you know.
Everything.
Well, thank you guys for moving things around. So Emily, thank you very much. Emily's here, and thank you everyone for moving your schedule. Sorry at last minute, as you know, around the holidays it gets kind of crazy, and I overcommitted myself without knowing it, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I had the school call. So thanks for moving everything. I really, really appreciate it. And so this is a general school call, just for your general questions regarding the courses, any course. And because the holidays are coming up, we have a special thing going on, so we'll tell you that at the end. And hi, Emily, how are you?
Hi, James. How are you? I'm doing well.
Oh, good. Good. So Emily's here to go through the calls and the Facebook questions. So we have people from all over the world calling in.
We do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people, actually.
A lot of people. Wow. We have
yeah,
five pages
a lot of
worth of people.
We do, yeah.
I'm blown away. Wow. Okay. Well, let's start answering questions, shall we? And everyone remember that, you know, one question will be the one that you want to ask, someone else will ask it, because that always happens in these sessions. So that's, and every answer really can help you too. So listen up. All right,
perfect.
Let's start.
Okay, so if you have a question, press star 6 to get in the queue, and we'll start with the first person there, who is at 701-492. And if you could also mention the course you have a question about.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yep. Sounds good. Hey, Jane, this is Kristen from Level 2 in Santa Fe. How are you today?
Hi, Kristen. Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, thank you.
Good.
I've got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is, in watching you work, you really seem to get, like, consistent information like gender, relationship, age, name, and then more evidence. Is that because Spirit is used to working with you, or do you set that intent consistently each time in your head to get that information that way?
That's a great question, Kristen. Great, great question. So it's a little bit of both in that when you begin your work, you always have to have, before you start, you got to set the intention. So, and you do ask them, can you come through? I would like this time to, like every one of my demonstrations I do still after, close to 40 years now, I still will start each demonstration by saying, can you give me something interesting? Or give me something that a person might have on them of another person, or give me some initials, or give me names. And I just put that out there to the universe, to them, if they can do that, to my guides, and if they can help them to do that. And I just open up my mind, and I'm open to the discovery process. And that's really an important part with mediumship, whether level one, level two. It's really important to have, and I say this over and over again, that art of discovery, that sense of curiosity, that sense of, oh, wow, what am I going to learn about this now? So it's like reading a book, but it's almost like opening up to that other world, that other frequency, that other space above you, and kind of discovering all these different things about it. Because if we go into that space thinking we know everything, we're going to shut it down. Just like when we say to the audience members, you know, if you come in and you think, oh, come to me, or I want to hear from one particular person, they're shutting down the energy of that space. They're limiting the space. They're blocking it. So we really just want to open it up. And the same with a medium. They have to attune themselves to the frequency. But then, as you know, Kristen, when we were together there, you got to put yourself to the side, the human part of you to the side, and open up your spirit. You know, your spirit is the one. The power that we have is really your spirit. It's your energy. It's the spirit fuel, if you will. And that's really what is. That has to be. Sometimes I get a sense, and I try. I don't want to be bored, which I really never am. But every time I do it differently. So if I step into my power. Sometimes I'll imagine like I'm a rocket ship and I'm taking off and going as high as I can, or I'm a balloon, a helium balloon going up higher and higher. And sometimes I'll ask, give me stuff, give me philosophy, give me something that has not come through. And the other thing I want to just say with you, whether it's the person you're working with individually or in a group setting, the spirit people know what the energy of that group is going to be, and they'll know what needs to come through too. So that's something you should know. Yeah?
Great point. Great point. Mm-hmm. And the second part of my question really had to do with like the spirit part of it. I know when you helped me really get into my heart and yep. feel that connection and feel that love, it's just amazing how you could get out of the way. When you brought my father-in-law through, I was just immediately just overcome with emotion because I could feel him. Mm-hmm. Was that mm-hmm. him kind of coming into the room with us, or was that you feeling the love that I had for him, or both?
No, he was right next to you. So that was his. Oh. It was him in your space. It was him in the atmosphere around you in the auric space. He slipped into that space, and I was picking up his energy. And I was picking, and as you remember, and as everyone remembers, I say this, they come in love. So the spirit people come to you in love. So you're in a, remember I said, go with your heart first, lead with your heart first. And, and I love the other expression, which I don't know if I shared with you, is live from the inside out, which is a great one. Live from the inside out. Yeah. And that's really what it is, because he comes in love. All the spirit people come in love. So the more that we as mediums can get in that love space, that heart space, then the more success we're going to have. But the more we think about it, then we're blocking it because it's the human getting in the way. Yeah? And you'll feel that too, honey.
That
when you work with people, when you work with people, feel the love around them, and then feel maybe then you'll get a sense that there's a form with that love. It feels like a woman. It feels like a man. Try it that way too. Feel that love that they come in with. So it doesn't have to be so literal, oh, it's a man, there's a woman. First, feel the love that comes in for them, okay?
Okay. It's so simple. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kristen. Nice talking to you, honey. Bye.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to 843-333.
Hello.
Hi, James.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Diane from Myrtle Beach. How are
you? Hi, Diane. Good, honey. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. What class are you in?
I am in the 28-day transformation.
Good for you.
Well, I'm having issues. I can't get myself I just feel extremely stuck.
Good for you. So let's rewind. Number one, good for you to take the course. That's a big step in itself. So congratulate yourself for actually taking that course. My one question, Diane, you know I'm going to ask this. Have you done it progressively every single day?
No. I can't even make myself. That's my problem. I just can't even get motivated enough to do it, which is dumb.
I don't want to judge it, but just there's a reason why. So there's a reason why you won't do that, and there's a reason why. So whether you want to go through a meditation with yourself to find out what's going on there, why you're limiting yourself. I say this all the time. I love to journal, so maybe you can journal and find out what's going on with me. Why won't I do this for myself? And what you can do, sweetheart, is look. Now you can start looking, Diane, to your whole life. Go back to when you were, 20 years old, and now go to the future, go further on. Where have the spaces and places been where you've not given yourself the ability to do things? Maybe you're limiting yourself. Maybe you're not taking chances in life. Where does that come from? You see, it's got to come from somewhere. And even if you have to go back to your childhood, you know, you're not worthy to receive. Whatever it might be, I'm just throwing these things out there. You'll have to find out for yourself. Right. But it comes from something else. And because it's really a gift you're giving yourself. That 28-day transformation, it really is a gift. And it's looking at yourself in a whole different way. And it's getting rid of all the old crap, can I just say it that way, getting rid of all that stuff that no longer serves your highest good, and being that loving being and having that awareness that you are that loving being, spiritual soul, you know, here on this earth. And there's something blocking that. There's something blocking that, that I'm not feeling worthy, I'm not feeling I'm ready for that. So that's for you a discovery. And if you can get in the sense, the headspace of not judging it, just observing it. Why are you holding back? Why are you limiting yourself? Was there a situation in your childhood? Was there a situation in your teenage years? That's something you should look into yourself for. And then I guarantee you, sweetheart, once you discover that and that opens up, because as you know, I always say the first step in healing is awareness. So once you're aware of what's holding you back and limiting you from doing things for yourself, that will open up all different areas of your life. Okay?
Okay.
And Diane, my love, you know when you do this that your life's going to change, right? So that's what's called transformation. So people in your life will change, situations in your life, people that you thought loved you and you find out they didn't really love you. It's like, oh, my God, that was an illusion I was living. Oh, my goodness. It's finding the truth. It's finding the true love. It's not the illusionary. It's the truth. It's your genuine. So you know, it's a big deal. So when you're ready, you'll get ready. But I think you need a little bit of discovery beforehand. Do a little detective work on yourself.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, I think that's what it is, though. I don't feel worthy. I do it for others always, but I don't do it for
me. Oh, I know it's what it is. I know it's what it is. Because you're one of thousands of people I've talked to about this exact same thing before. And it really is that sense of not worthy of this. And by the way, a lot of healers tend to take care of other people but forget about themselves. Healer, heal thyself is something one of the hardest things to do. So that's true of everyone probably in this call. You've had experiences with that. So, but, you know, don't beat yourself up, Diane. Just know, number one, you've signed up for it. You will take it when you have 28 days that you want to go through a cleanse, because it's really a cleanse, and that you'll give that to yourself. But first, let's discover why you're holding things back from your life. What is holding you back? Are there belief systems, people's energy, things that happened to you younger in life? So that's, and, you know, again, don't judge it. Observe it. It's almost like you're writing your biography, your autobiography, and find out what's going on there. How do you tick?
Right.
You'll be surprised at what you find.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe not scared of finding what I was supposed to find.
You have nothing to be scared of. It's just helping you grow and understand things. It's like, don't judge it. Just let it happen. It is what it is, and that's all that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Diane.
Jane.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to John. Is the name coming up at 503-231?
John. I don't think it's a John. I think it's a woman. Is it 503? Hello.
Hello.
I guess
Denise
John
from
is gone.
Portland. Yes. James, thank you so much for your work. I find it so healing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I do have...
what is your name, first of all? Is it John?
Okay, yes. My name's Denise. Right.
Denise.
I'm from Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
Hi, Denise. Okay, what course?
Sorry, I didn't have my microphone on. Yeah. I have a question about when it would be best to contact like an ascended master as opposed to one of our personal spirit guides. Can you give an example of what specific question we might contact either category there, or does it matter?
Well, number one, I don't think it matters, but what I would do is I would do it in a step. I would first become very, very connected with my own personal guides. Mm-hmm. I would do it like a stair step. And once I'm very, very... connected with my guides and very assured of who they are, what their energy feels like, what aspect they play in my life and my soul's growth on this earth, what areas do they work with me on, and I'm very set with that, and I know how to call in on them, and I'm pretty much, I have that one handled. Then I'm going to move to the Ascended Masters. So in the course, I did it, gave everything there, but I would do it step by step by step, because also you're not going to be overwhelmed that way. So once you have that sense of the energy of your guides, then you can go to the Ascended Masters. It's a whole very, very different energy, of course, as I spoke about. It's a very incredibly different energy. Mm-hmm. And me personally, what I do when I work with that way, I set up a sacred space. When I do the Ascended Masters, I would set up a sacred space in that I will go to whether it's a place in my garden for like 2 hours before I do that, or a space in the house where I'm quiet and silent for a few hours before I go into that level, because it's a high vibration, and it's an overwhelming, not overwhelming, but it's an intense energy. I created that sacred space very seriously, and I think that's a great way to do it, Denise, because also you're setting up an invitation to them to be there, and then you got to be ready for it. And just I just think that you'll know, it's more or less, I listen. And I find when I do that, whether it's like, for instance, the Buddhic energy, Buddha, that energy I was working with last night. And the energy came very, very, it's such a great energy. It's a gentle energy for me when that Buddhic energy comes. It's very gentle. And that the energy came to me, and the words that were said, or the energy that's shared with me, was about putting your house in order, putting your space in order. And I think... I felt like physically, you got to put physically things in order. And the funny thing was then I went after that, I ended up going to a furniture store, and there, right there, as I walked in, was a Buddha statue, which was a standing Buddha statue, which I'd never seen before. And like, validation, thank you, there we go. So all those lovely, magical things happen. And so that I would let that energy tell you. And then once you have that revelation, you can also communicate back and just ask a question. So that's fine too, and just listen to the first thought or energy that comes into your mind once you ask the question. Don't overthink it again. So there's that tightrope, the tightrope of being the human and yet being the spirit and the differential between them. So you have to be open, but if we get too much in the human, we're going to have the critical mind get in the way and question everything. So, and that's why I said it's much easier if you'd first get in tune with the guides and have that under your belt and then move on to the Ascended Masters.
Okay, wonderful.
Does that help?
Thank you so much.
All right, yeah, Denise, you're very welcome, sweetheart.
Thanks.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Toronto is what's coming up at 647-680.
Hi, it's Gary Holgate from Canada, Niagara Falls area.
And what is your name? I'm sorry. I didn't get your name.
It's Gary.
Gary. Hi, Gary. And what course are you talking about, Gary?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Right.
I just finished the certification one course, and there was a couple of things in there that I had some trouble with.
Okay, mediumship or psychic?
I kind of do both because I did energy work, and then psychic stuff would come through when I was doing healings.
Okay, so what course are you talking about, though? Certification one for mediumship or for psychic? Because there's a psychic certification course.
No, I did the mediumship.
You did the mediumship. Perfect. Okay, Gary. Great.
And I think I'm going to do the angels one because Gordon said, I think he's doing the angel one as well, and he said I should do that one.
Oh, good. But, so you work with Gordon. Good.
Yeah, and so what it was is there was a couple of things in there, and one of them was when you talk about connecting to spirit and sort of getting the mind out of the way, and you would sort of push your mind up to the left or to the right, you would pick a corner and just push it there.
Yeah.
And then that sort of takes the focus out of it, the human side of it, and just let that subconscious stuff come through. So sometimes I have difficulty doing that. I guess my mind is too active. I have a very analytical job, and it makes me sort of decipher and question everything. And I think it even spills over into this. So I find it difficult.
It has to, Gary. It has to spill over to this. Yep.
Yeah. So, and I find it difficult sometimes. The funny thing is, if I have like 3 glasses of wine, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
Because then I don't really care. I don't have those inhibitions anymore, and I just, you know,
get out of the way. You get out of the way. Yeah.
But it's not something you can do. You can't actually just drink wine all the time you're doing a meeting.
No, Gary, you cannot. Otherwise, we're going to different types of meetings. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So let's
go over this point by point. So first of all, Gary, when's your birthday?
April 4th.
Okay, so you're in Aries. So it's not too bad. So I'm happy now because you're in Aries. So at least you're not an air sign, which would be really a mental situation. So Aries, which is great. So we know that you have the energy for it. We know that you have the willpower. We know that you have the steadfastness to do it. Okay, that's fine. What's your background as far as mediumship? Is it the first class you've taken in mediumship, or first course, or is this, have you been doing this for a while?
I did the courses at Lilydale with Reverend White.
Okay. Okay.
And I did those a while ago.
Okay.
And I started doing my own. I was sort of mentored and tutored probably 15 years ago by a number of mediums.
Okay. How often do you sit in a development circle?
Not very often.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. So I'm going to tell you something, Gary, which I mentioned before on these phone calls, and it's something which is really, really perfect for you. Part of it, the practice for you, is to get out of the way, right, and to relax into it, because this is a situation where you're going to be receptive. You're not going to be perceptive. You're going to really be receptive. And for you to be receptive and kind of passive, it's a bit hard because you want to be out of kind of like you want to do everything. You want to be, your mind thinks a lot, and you got to go if you feel like you got to be something, and you don't need to. And the reason wine is good for you is because it gets you out of the way. Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to sit quietly. You want to sit quietly with a passive mind. You just want to sit. So what I would recommend to you, and I've done this before to a lot of students, I say, is there a space you can sit in, whether it's a smaller space, like is there a walk-in closet perhaps, or a space that you will not be interrupted by a phone, by children, by animals, by outside influences? And I would say sit in the dark, be in the dark, at least 15 minutes, okay, and 15 to 20 minutes, and just sit. And what I would do when you're sitting is concentrate on just the breath, bringing in light or love and letting go of fear or other people's energy in your space and getting to that neutral heart space. And I would try that for at least a month, okay? And if you could do that every night, that would be great. But you know your schedule, you do it when you can. But the consistency is important for you, okay? That's important for you. And you'll get to a space when you're sitting there that you'll become a bit receptive, and you'll also feel the sense of, how can I put this to you? The lightness, the subtlety of the energies that come around you. And that subtlety of the energies is what I want you to become aware of, okay? Because it's in the subtlety of that awareness is where you're going to do your mediumship when you do it. And so I just want you to be able to recognize that the subtle energy when you're doing your mediumship, because then you'll have a reference of where you should go to when you're doing your mediumship, and you won't have to think about it. You'll just know that reference, that experience that you've had in your mind, and you can go right into that space, that softness of that thought, the softness of the space. And it's that softness where you can get into that receptive, gentle, passive mind that you'll be able to receive. Now, so that's something you need to build up, okay, that passivity. That's what you need to build up. And the best way to do that is exactly what I just told you, sitting in that darkness, and if you can be consistent. And if you could do it at the same time, would be really even better if you can. But I know life happens. So because what you're doing is you're setting up an invitation with the spirit world to meet you at a particular time, and they will meet you. Your guides will be there with you, and they'll work with your energetic space around you, the atmosphere around you, to become and really clean out your mind, kind of, because, you know, every once in a while we got to weed out the mind because we overthink things. So this gives them also the opportunity to do that. So that would be my suggestion to you, Gary. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds good.
Try it on and see what happens with it. And because you're in Aries, it's rush, rush, rush. Don't want you to rush. I want you to just calm down. Everything happens, so go back to that breath, just a beautiful breath, and that's what you want to feel, that passivity. Because you already have the energy with that Aries. You already have the energy there. It's already there. You'll have your power, but it's the passivity that you need to get into. You need to get that softness going.
Okay.
Okay? I think you'd be a great medium, too.
Thank you.
All right, Gary. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, let's go to 507-538 is what is coming up.
Hi, James.
Hi, who's this?
This is Brenda from Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, hi, Brenda. Nice to hear you again.
Yes, nice to hear you again as well. So I'm working on the Connecting with Your Guides, Angels, and Masters course.
Yep.
And my other question that I've come up with as we create spaces to connect with our guides and as part of creating those environments, we need to say a prayer or words of intention, and wondering if you could provide some examples of what those words might be to help make that happen.
Sure. Hold on 1 second. Let me grab my book. Hold on 1 second. I could do it at the top of my head, but I wrote about this in my Wisdom of the Guides book, and I just think that we should use that. Okay, sacred contract. Have you been in touch with your guides as far as who they are? Do you know them yet?
In working with another medium, I know who my guides are, yes.
Okay, but what about yourself? So instead of the medium telling you who they are, maybe you can have your own, your own sense of them, no?
Yes, so I'm working towards creating that quiet, uninterrupted space and quieting my logical self to be receptive, as you've just been talking about.
Okay. So really what you want to do, Brenda, is start speaking from your heart. And it depends, of course, on what your intention of this is. So I can find it in my book, but I know it's in here, so I'll just go to the top of my head. So it's speaking from your heart, which is where the soul is. And so it'd be something like, you know, however you want to phrase it for your intention is fine. It's really an invitation. So dear spirit friends, guides, I ask you now to come close to me. I open up my heart and my mind for you to come so close that two become one. May I feel your energy around me. May I know your energy around me. I offer up myself and surrender my mind to you for the highest good of my soul and for your work. something as simple as that. Yeah, and you can expand on that if you want to, and put in what the intention, actual intention is. That's fine. They kind of know anyway, but they'll do something like that. And just let me tell you, Brenda, for you, I just get a hit on something psychically. I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but I am. You know, we say create the sacred space. I think you're a very visual person, aren't you?
Yes.
So when we create a sacred space, for you, I just get a sense that somewhere in your, I don't know if you have a room that you work in, a special room to the side, but if there's a space there where you have, let's just choose three guides that you work with, okay? And maybe you can create a little, I'm going to say an altar or a little physically a sacred space for each one of those guides, with colors that work with one guide, the colors that work with the other guide, colors that work with the other guide, and maybe there are like a crystal or there's a candle or there's a flower for whatever that guide, what you feel, whatever you're going to feel that guide, you want to give them a space there, physical space. I like that for you. I like that for you. And what I like about that is I also like you to build up that physical space once you connect with that one guide. Maybe they'll give you a certain aspect of themselves or something about them that you like, or they'll give you a symbol, or they'll give you something that then you can put in that physical space to remind you of that connection you have with that particular guide. And try that with all three guides. Start at three, because otherwise it'll be overwhelming. And just see how that works for you. I think that might be really nice for you.
Okay.
Okay?
I do have an area that I do quilting and creative.
I had a feeling you did. So is it a room?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if there's some certain shelves that you have or a desk. But even if you had to use a floor, I'd get a box and I'd put stuff on top of a box and I'd put a nice material on there that would match the guide. Or you know, just differentiate those three different spaces for different guides. And I think that's a really good one too, because that will ground you, Brenda. And I want you just to use more of your own connection instead of going to a medium. Let yourself feel them. There's no reason why, you should be able to feel them more than the other medium, because they're your guides. You know what I mean?
Right. I had my brother pass earlier this year, so
I'm sure he's probably a guide of yours.
But, yes. I did connect with a local medium just for some validation, and she has encouraged me to work on my own, which is why I'm doing this course.
There we go. Perfect, though. That's validation. Perfect. So that's one. So you can do an altar for your brother, and that would be great, and do some journaling with him. And yeah, I think it's great. Don't overthink things. Just let them happen. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay, Brenda. Thanks, sweetheart. Happy holidays.
Thank you, James.
Okay, let's go to a good question on Facebook from Monica, who's in mediumship level one.
Okay.
And James, she's saying that ever since I started doing group or gallery readings instead of one-on-one, I find that loved ones like to show up before and after the reading. I bring in my guides to meditate and shield myself and ask for the greater good. Any idea how else, I don't mind them showing up beforehand as it's truly helped. Any idea how else I can ask them to let go after the reading? So it sounds like they are continuing to bug her after the
reading. Okay, so this is something which I was just taught recently by a friend of mine, a medium from England, who did this, and it was really, really fabulous. It was great. It was, I loved it. And, you didn't go, Emily, to this. You should have gone to this. At the soul with Chris Drew, when Chris Drew was here.
Oh, no, I didn't go to this.
Oh, it was so great. So I sat with Chris Drew, and Chris Drew is a medium from England, and I saw him once when we worked together in Holland. We didn't do a demonstration together, but we did here in Encinitas when he was here. And before the demonstration, they had this room to the side we sat at, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm sitting in the power." I said, "Okay," so because everybody works differently. And how he did it was I sat across from him, and I just sat quietly myself in my own power, building up that power. And a sense of inviting them in at that space. So it's before the demonstration, inviting them in. Now, all of a sudden, as Chris is there, the room got freezing, 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 freezing cold. It was like an ice box. And I was like, to myself, oh, my gosh, there's no air conditioning in this room. Why? It's freezing. And about 10 minutes later, I looked at Chris and said, and he looks at me and goes, "Cold, isn't it?" I said, "It's freezing." He goes, "Yes, I've asked them to come in ever since I started mediumship, so I would know myself personally, for my own human mind, that they'd be here," and they've done it ever since. So I thought that was a great, great preparation. So in a demonstration, when she does that, When Monica does that, what you should do is beforehand set some time aside. 10, 15 minutes would be great, where you sit in the power. And that's when you open up and you invite them to come close to you. Okay? That's when she should do that ritual. And then at the end of the demonstration, I always go off to myself in the side room and it closed down. And she's got to get used to closing down. What that means, whether it's going through each chakra point and closing it down, like turning off the light bulb, going all the way down to the root chakra, putting herself through a waterfall, cleansing away, and also however she can close the curtain and tell the spirit, I'm done, thank you so much, and get back into her own body, go back to herself. And that's it, switch off that light. And she's got to do that. That's a very important part of mediumship. When you're ready to work, you turn on. When you're ready to finish, when you're done, you're finished, you turn off. People come to me at book signings after the demonstration and say, can you get my relative? I said, no, I've turned off. And that really is a safe thing to do. You have to do that. There's a TV show called Long Island Medium everyone's familiar with. And the way they produce is, unfortunately, the producers did not produce that correctly, in that they show that Teresa Caputo is always on. She's always on. Now, I don't know her as far as her development goes, but how they're portraying it is not correct. It's not healthy for a medium, because a medium should be aware that it's a sacred connection at a particular space. And they, even though we will see spirit when we go into a bakery or a butcher store or whatever, we should not be in communication. This is my own personal belief, until we're ready to do the work, because it takes a lot of energy and power. And I think that's a bad habit to get into, to just always be open. It's also just, I always tell people, it's like a ceiling fan always running. If you keep it always running and it's always turned on, the motor is going to burn out eventually. So the adrenal system of our bodies will be affected if we're always open as mediums.
Okay. All right. Very insightful. Okay. Let's go to 443-506 is the number.
Hi, James. This is Teresa from Maryland. I was on
Hi,
call
Teresa.
My last name is Kochelik, so you'll never hear it again.
Kochelik?
Kochelik.
Kochelik. C-O-H-E-L-I-C-A?
Nope, it's K-O-C-I-O-L-E-K.
Oh, Coachella. Okay, K. God, Coachella. What kind of name
is
that?
It's horrible. It's horrible. Anyway,
what name? What is that background?
Oh, it's Polish. My husband's Polish.
It's Polish. Okay, great.
I tried to get him to take my name because it was Howard, but he wouldn't do it.
Okay, Teresa. What course are you with me on?
Right now, I am in the Master's Angel Guides ones. I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
I have it right in.
Very good.
Because I'm waiting for your...
Mediumship 3?
Mediumship 2 to open up.
Mediumship 2, yes. Emily and I are working on that. We were actually meeting Monday to discuss all of that. So
okay,
it's Mediumship
good,
2 and Mediumship
good.
3 are coming up. Yep.
Yeah, she has me on the waiting list.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, we know you're there because that name. We see your name all the time. Okay.
I have a really strange question. Well,
good. I would expect nothing less, Teresa.
Everybody deals with this.
Yep.
When I'm doing my readings,
yeah.
You know how you always have one in a group that's the negative.
Okay, now when you say you're doing the readings, tell me more about that. What kind of readings?
Oh, I'm sorry. I do private and I do groups.
And you do psychic readings or mediumship readings?
Mediumship and psychic. I've been doing
okay, so you do differentiate that and say to the group, now I'm going to do a psychic night or doing mediumship tonight?
No, mostly people book me for the medium.
Okay, do you mix the both up when you're doing the work?
Mostly I try to stay on the medium when they book a medium.
Honey?
Unless. What?
You have to differentiate. Stay within one energy. Don't go back and forth.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I stay on the medium.
Okay, yeah, because it's a very hard thing to do. As you're a medium and you're doing the mediumship, when you're in the power, it's very, very easy for us to drop down into the psychic. It's so easy because the psychic is such less energy than the mediumship would be. So, and the public needs to know that this is a mediumship completely. You know, don't just drop down to the psychic. Although you might have some spirits come through and say, you know, I'm helping you get your future job. You know, that will happen. But as long as you can tell the difference between the different energies, that's fine. Then I'm not worried. Okay.
Right. I can definitely tell the difference thanks to you.
Okay.
You were speaking in Lilydale over the summer.
Yes.
The weekend that Friday night readings were horrible. And you got up on stage and said, anybody who got read last night wasn't a reading.
Oh, they didn't like that at Lilydale. Too bad. But that was because it was really the quality of mediumship at Lilydale is terrible. And Lisa Williams, who works there now, she said to me, I said, what's wrong with the mediumship? Isn't it awful? I said, yes, but this is an institution. It should be some great work here. So I might go back there next year to teach, but I'm still waiting. They weren't happy I said that, but too bad, because they always should be sharpening the pencil, especially at a place like that. So,
Absolutely. I have a lot of my gifts I was taught by my mother and grandmother.
Okay.
I've been doing it for 9 years professionally.
Okay.
But I have been drawn to you, and you have tuned me unbelievably.
Good. Good, Teresa.
Unbelievably.
Good.
I still haven't. It's like I have that one person sit in the group, and I find myself wanting to please them.
Oh, stop that. You'll never please anybody. You can't please everybody. You can't. That means you're working for them, not for the spirit world.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear. That's a big thing,
yes,
though.
So when you have a group, first of all, what I want you to do also is I want you to sit in the quiet again, just like I told Gary. I would love for you to sit more in quiet, in the darkness, and just quietly, 15 minutes a day. Can you do that?
Okay.
Because you need.
I'm going to start because I hear you saying that a lot.
You need it. You're. You know how I see it, Teresa, with you. I see your auric field, and I see that it's. What's the word I can use here? Ooh. You know, if you take a scissor and you make a circle, you cut the edges around. It's that kind of jagged. It's a jagged circle.
Right.
It's all jagged, and I'd like to soften that because it seems too jagged. And when you again, it's the same thing with Gary. If you can soften that and get into the passive state, you won't worry much. You won't worry about the people you work with, the spirit world. You won't be working with the people on the earth. And the way you start that off with your readings is you say to the group, I thank you very much for being here, and this is how I work. You give them directions. And I work as an instrument for the spirit world for the highest good of them. And you can go to the example that you heard me say. You know, that might be a man that passed over who didn't know how to love his daughter, never said, I love you, to his daughter. And he goes over and has his life review, and he feels so guilty he couldn't say, I love you. So maybe he'll come through today and say, I love you. This is an opportunity for him. So the spirit people know what's going to happen. And just it's here for a group experience. And that's it. I have no control over who's going to come through. I work with them. They are in control. I am not. I'm just the instrument. So once your people know that, then you're in.
Okay, perfect.
All right?
Perfect. You
got to set the stage. Remember, you got to set that stage and the instructions beforehand because they don't know what to expect, but you've got to tell them.
Right.
All right?
When you were there, I have to tell you what you did. I wanted to come up to you there, but, you know, I didn't want to bother you. But when on my way there, my daughter had a miscarriage a couple months before. She had gotten pregnant. She was pregnant at that point. She is still pregnant now. But I said to my mother, give me a sign through James that this baby's going to be okay. And before I left the house, I said to Cindy, if it's a girl, what are you going to name her? She said Violet. And the first thing you did when you got on stage was to say all the old souls are going to be born with all the old names like Violet.
Oh, how funny is that? Really? Wow, I didn't remember that. That's amazing. Wow.
First thing you said, James, I was in the back crying my eyes out, and my mother was clapping, and she's pointing to you going, that's who I want you to work with. That's who I want you to work with.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. That was a message for you, Teresa, for sure.
Definitely, and you were right on it, so that was just, thank you for that. That was just so amazing.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You did a reading.
Oh, wow. And just to emphasize with you, just take some time to sit with yourself, please.
Okay. I definitely will do that. I respect every word you say.
Okay, honey. Lots of love, Teresa.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, honey.
Okay. Let's go to, we have a good question from Beverly in the psychic course.
Okay.
And she's wondering, I'm going to sum this up. It's a bit long, but she ran into someone who she felt was going through hard times, and it stuck with her. So she went back the next day and approached the woman, and this is psychic insight, and told her, you know, you're going to think I'm weird, but it sounds like she sort of gave her a reading. We're now friends. My question is it normal to feel weirded out and nervous? I don't want to invade anyone's privacy. So it sounds like she's asking about doing on-the-spot readings when you have a feeling
integrity
that someone needs.
Yeah, there's a sense of integrity and responsibility that you have to have when you're doing psychic readings with somebody. You can't just walk up to somebody and say, hi, I think you're going to die on Tuesday. You just can't do that, and each person is going to find it for themselves. The bottom line is we got to empower people, not disable people, and that's really what it's about. So there might be it really depends on how she presents it as well. I mean, you just don't go up to people and just start saying that, but how she presents it might be like, how are you doing today? Hi, how are you? Just being nice to her. And again, it's up to each person how they approach that. But generally speaking, I wouldn't just walk up to somebody. That's not appropriate. But again, it depends on how she approaches it. That's each situation is an individual situation, so it depends on the exact situation. But as a general rule, we've got to be very careful not to invade people's privacy without being asked.
Okay, so always ask.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next caller, a mystery caller at 480-720.
Mystery caller. We love those mystery callers. Mystery caller, enter and sign in, please. Hello?
Hello, James.
Hi, mystery caller. What's your name?
Donna from Arizona.
Donna from Arizona. Hi, Donna. What course are you in?
Hi. I was doing the mediumship, and I'm also doing the HSP, so that's fabulous.
Yeah, the HSP course is great.
Oh, my God. And I'm going to be starting the 28-day, so.
Oh, yeah. The HSP and the 28-day.
Yeah.
You're going to be a different person. Very good. Good for
yeah.
you. Wow. That's great, Donna. Good for you.
Yeah. You know, it's a journey, and, you know, it keeps going, and, you know, so. But
these are all,
my question is,
guidelines to help you, you know.
Yeah.
So, Donna, mediumship one or two?
Mediumship one.
Okay.
I've taken so much mediumship everywhere. It's just kind of, you know, I'm kind of just like a la carte, kind of take here, take here, take here. So.
That's the best way.
But,
and, you know, what you
yeah.
find out what resonates within you, that's great.
Yeah.
So take from all those and just take what resonates and leave the rest.
So sitting, I have the question about mediumship. When you're sitting and you're meditating, not, well, going through your meditation, but you're pulling the energy and you're getting the signature energy of your mother's energy, your father's energy, you know, your
yeah.
sister's. And when you're doing that and you're doing your practice in your circles and you're wanting to give somebody, you know, maybe it's their mother, but maybe that mother that you're feeling maybe wasn't quite the greatest mother figure that you had, but maybe that mother relationship that they have was you know, like the Brady Bunch. But you know what I'm saying? So how do I trying to think of how I ask this question.
So no, I get what you mean. We all get what you mean.
Okay.
But so the thing is this, and when I do this with people, and I think I did it in the course also, there's got to be a positive attribute to a mother, a father, grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, even though they treated us horribly, you know, growing up. Or we tend to always remember the negative things about family and friends. We always the negative things. Even when someone puts us down or has something negative, we always remember that instead of positive things. It's just part of the brain chemistry, I think. But if there's a positive aspect that you can remember, like what is it, like the Brady Bunch, great. You know, Florence Henderson, I actually knew her. She was that way, believe it or not. She really was very much like Carol Brady. She was very much that positivity. That could be your role model. There you go. Carol Brady, you said it. That could be a positive attribute of a mother feeling for you. How's that?
Okay.
So look at it that way.
Because I think somebody asked a question that was kind of similar to that, and I think you gave an answer before, and maybe I kind of missed it, and I wasn't sure if I hit on this. I think you said, go to the last greatest memory you had with that family member, if that helps you. I don't know if that was relating to that.
I'm sure I did say that. I don't remember what it was in context to, but
okay.
But that is a good one. But also, I got to say, always remember though, you know, you got to remember also in doing this work, Donna, that it's all from love. That all there is love. There's love or fear, and so when you've had maybe negative experiences as a child that you draw upon, there's also love behind that. Love was made. You were made from love. You are love. So there's got to be that sense of, again, there we go with working on ourselves. That's why sometimes we do mediumship to also work on ourselves, that feeling forgiveness for the mother, feeling forgiveness for that, forgiving that situation, because you don't want that residue to stick to you, see? So I would just try to find a positive attribute and try. I think you just answered your own question about that with that Carol Brady thing. I think it's great. Or Leave It to Beaver, you know, whatever generation
okay.
you're from. That positivity. It's because, remember, again, it's not about you. It's about the client. And even though in your references you might have had a negative experience, there had to be one positive experience. So maybe
okay.
it was a birthday party when you were 4 years old. It's something positive. Yeah. Your mother passed over?
No, she's still here. She's just having a lot of health issues. But
So there's always something about her that you love or that she did that's loving, or you could find an aspect of your mother, even if she said that, you know, why don't you talk? Did you talk to Mom?
Yeah, I talked to her.
Okay, so why don't you, now that she's alive and she's in the body, you should work out stuff with her. You should go and talk to her about love.
I know.
Forget the HSC 28-day mediumship. Go to your mother and talk about love. While she's in the body, you know, that's a great opportunity because there might be stuff there that she needs to say, too.
Right. Well, she lives all the way in Florida, and, you know, my job's kind of busy. I don't really get much time off. And
So
we just
Skype,
kind of talk on
the
phone.
Skype. There's a phone. Right. There's Skype, right?
Yeah.
You can do that.
Right.
Right. Donna?
Right. Right.
Don't put off today what you could do. Don't put off tomorrow what you do today. Yeah, I think that would be really a good point to start working with your mother on love. I think that would be perfect for you.
And you also had on the HSP, you talked about finding time and balance and about that. And I think you talked about you used to work when you first started, you had really busy life and worked a regular job and was there a time that you
I don't need
maybe,
more, right,
that you I'm really big about sitting in my power every day. That's really important to me.
Good.
And self-care is really important to me.
You bet.
And when my job demands 12 hours, 6 days a week, it really hurts me that it takes, you know, time away from the things that I love. And I'm trying to see if there's something that you can share with me that when you were back in the working busy life like this of working for someone, that if there was a specific time working graveyards that you found a best time to meditate or sit in the power each day, you know, to regain your balance.
Well, first of all, you said, I mean, you're answering your own questions. So that's really interesting. And I mean, this is good for everybody listening and including only myself. So balance is everything. As I said, balance is everything. So first of all, personally, for you individually, what are your hours of work?
9:30 at night till about 9 o'clock in the morning.
And you have to stay at those times?
Yeah, we're varying anywhere between 9 and 12 hours. The post office is a complete mess right now.
Oh, you work at the post office? Okay. Well,
yes.
My husband worked at the post office for 30
plant.
Years. I understand the.
Yeah.
My husband worked at the plant for 30 years. I understand that. So I understand that you're in a graveyard shift. So when do you sleep then? When you get home at 10 to what, 4?
Usually I try to get to sleep usually within the first couple hours and you know, sleep till, you know, 4 or 5 and whatever. Depends, but
okay.
So my target time
like
is to get up around 6.
Okay. So maybe you can do a little work, a 15-minute workout would be great, and then a 15-minute meditation.
Okay, in the morning or
in the
evening?
In the morning.
Well, I
would do it I would do it when you wake up. I would do it when you wake up in the afternoon. I would do your workout for 15 minutes and then sit for 15 minutes and then get ready for your job.
Okay.
I would get into that schedule.
Okay. Well, I'll try that because.
And I know what you do, sort mail.
Oh yeah.
So you use the machines and you're sorting through that?
Oh, yeah.
Great. So I love that. So there was Albert Best was a great medium in England. Albert Best was I used to give out names and addresses. And the reason why Albert Best was able to do that was because he worked for the Postal Service for many, many years. So I think that would be great for you if you want to get into mediumship more, to look at the names and just kind of connect with the names and the addresses, you know, as you're throwing them in the machine. But, you know, don't I would say use it, have fun with it, and look at those names and kind of put it in your reference library somehow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do. Usually when I sort, you know, there's always, like, synchronicities, you know, and I'll say, oh, wow, look at, or I'll look at the time,
great.
Or like, 2-2-2, 1-1-1.
Have fun with the sorting. Like, Brian would say, my husband Brian would say, you know, someone will say a name of a city, and you'll go, oh, 91203. Like, though he knows the zip code of all the different cities. Which is really great, and if you're a medium, that would be great, and the spirit people can use your references of addresses, of zip codes, of names. So that's a great reference. So you can actually do that while you're working, too, and have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, I saw one of your cards with Melinda Vale, and my partner, I said, oh, look, this is Melinda Vale, and this is, this, you know, look, and they're like, blah, 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 and we just went off, and they're like, whoa, that's like a lot of information, Donna.
But, you know, Donna, no one will get you. You know, so don't – I've never looked at anyone else to understand you because they won't. No, you mean, you're such a high vibration. You're a high frequency. So they, you got to go – you realize that the kind of job you have as well, it's a high vibrational job.
Well,
a lot of energy there.
Yeah, I know. Well, did you ever get the picture from Melinda Vale from my friend about Prince Harry? Because Melinda Vale said to ask you on the next call if you remember the picture, because you would remember that you were supposed to read his mother, Princess Diana, before that happened in the tunnel.
Yes, correct. Okay.
Because he just, I don't know if you saw the images and those, all that in his aura.
I don't remember,
okay.
Honestly, because I don't, you know, the people are throwing things at me left and right when I'm there, so I don't
okay.
remember, but it sounds familiar to me. It does sound familiar,
okay.
but I don't remember.
Well, maybe if you could ask Melinda Vale, I'm sure she still has
okay.
the picture. You'll find it fascinating to see
okay,
Prince Harry and all those people.
Sounds
okay.
fabulous.
Well, thank you
right.
so much.
You're welcome, love.
All
Take
right.
good care of yourself. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, let's go to 410923. Very cool.
Hi, James. It's Barbara from Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
Oh, I was so off. I thought you were in St. Louis. Okay. Hi, Barbara.
No, 410 is Maryland. That's where I work.
Okay. Oh, that's right. What course are you with me on?
Well, I've finished four classes. I did
wow.
the psychic portals and the psychic healer medium and a couple others, and I'm getting ready for the health, wealth, and happiness. Really excited about that.
Good.
Got some winter vacation time coming up. I'm going to buckle down to it.
Perfect.
And, of course,
perfect.
I'm really looking forward to getting into the book. I haven't been able to get to it yet. But
oh, you'll
I remember,
love it, Barbara. You'll love it all.
Oh, I can't wait. I remember at the end of one of the last calls we had, you mentioned that your guides had led you to with the concept for your next book. And it really triggered something in me because I'm wondering, how do you write on days where maybe you don't feel like it?
If I don't write.
Okay.
I don't write. When I'm not into it, like right now I'm writing a musical, believe it or not. And it's in my head. And then so I got the name of a song, which is great. And then last night I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, got the name of another song. And so it might need to sit there and nurture for a bit in the head. And that's usually my books as well. I let them, what's the word I'm looking for, where you have the little chickies. What's that?
Yep.
With the, what's that word? You know, little chicks in the
you're hatching. You're like you're
that,
hatching.
And that little, that the hatch.
Or
right?
The incubator.
The, thank you. The incubate. There you go. So the idea's got to incubate, and that I honor that. I honor the process of that because it really, really helps. If you rush through something, you're gonna miss out on a lot of it. So I let it incubate, and it'll get to a point where it'll be just incubate, and then it becomes overflowing. And then when I'm ready, when I feel that sense of overflow, I got to get it out of me, then I'll start down at the computer, start writing. Or I'll start journaling. I'll start writing on a piece of paper. I mean, I love to write things down. Like every single phone call I've had, I have every single person's name down. I have spiral books here, all the questions that have been asked, so forth. I just love to write things down because it gets out of my head onto paper. But I would just say let it, you know, incubate a little bit in your mind, and it'll come out when it's meant to be. You'll feel a sense of, okay, I got to write it down now.
And I'm wondering, when you do get to writing it down, do you have a mindset, or do you create an energy that allows it to be just that when you're writing?
I set an intention. I do prayer work. Okay. So before I sit down at the computer to write a book, let's say, I'll pray and I do an intention on it, and I connect with the source energy, and then I get out of the way. Then I just get out of the way, and I get out of the way, and I just get the human to the side. And I type really quickly, and I'll just go through typing of the waves of energy coming in and typing through whatever that is. And I swear it's really, really funny, Barbara, because then I look at it like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, wow, I wrote that. And of course, I wasn't writing. They were writing through me. But like, wow,
right.
I don't remember half the stuff that was written. And now when I open a lot of my books, I don't remember half the stuff that I've written in the book. It's like, wow, I don't remember that. So, and I shouldn't, because it's just that's you're just the vessel, so that, and that's true of everything. That's true of everyone. You know, we're all vessels of that creative force.
So there's some allowing there.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And I think that you will get it done when the time is right. You're not a procrastinator. You'll get it done. You know, you wouldn't have involved yourself with all these courses if you weren't a doer. You're a doer, so just give yourself a little break time, which you're doing, which is great. And, have some allowance, breathing. I call it breathing time. And when I'm writing a book, by the way, I write for a couple hours and I have to stop and go out and walk in my garden, and I water things and I hang out and I procrastinate a little bit outside, and but then I come back to it when it feels okay, I've got to get it done. I mean, right now as I'm talking to you, I have filing I'm doing for the year, and it's like a little bit on that table, a little bit over on the floor over here, and it's like, and I'll get it done, but that's some, you know, I know it has to be done and it will be done. That's just, you know, that grunt work, but I'll get it done. But, you know, creative process is really interesting. The creative process for people, you got to honor it. You got to honor it. And I just set the intention, and I love it. When it comes out and I'm finished with the book or I'm finished with the course, it's just, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the finish part. I've got a lot of middle pieces going.
Right. So, you know, an outline helps a lot, too. Like when I do a book, I always do it through an outline. I always outline my books. So if you, most of my books are in sections and parts. And that's easy for me to look at it that way and for me to create that way. So for me, that works really well. And even for my garden, when I'm doing garden design, what I do is I section it. So I'll section a certain area off and I'll look at one section. Otherwise, it becomes overwhelming, you know, and that's really everything. You get a little bit at a time.
I think that might be it for me.
I think so. You have too much going on, so you have to section things down, see the commonality of the different parts of it, you know, what works together, what does not work with this, throw that out or put that to the side, and formulate the main through line of your story, of your book, of what you're working on.
That's what I'll do.
Okay, honey. Thanks,
thank you,
Barbara. Good luck, and have a great vacation.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like time's almost up. Should we do one more call, James?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, let's go to Randy, is the name coming up at 719-488.
Hi, James, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen,
Colorado
how are you? We're at Palm Springs?
Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs, very nice. Okay, you know, Top Chef is going to be in Colorado this year. Just saying.
I heard about that.
Okay. I saw last night, Top Chef in Colorado. Okay, good.
So I'm taking the 28-day course, and I consider myself, I kind of call myself a beginner. So
okay.
Into this whole realm.
Well, you're taking the right course for it. So when did you start there, Karen? When did you start the course?
Well, I heard myself when you were talking to the earlier person on starting it. I started it with the intent to finish in 28 days, the end of October. Well, it's now December 1st, and I am in week 2.
Oh, it's terrible. Bad girl. So this is important that you know this, Karen. So what that day is, the way the spirit guides gave me that course, it's a progressive course, which means that there's a certain energy that's established and set up. Each day you build upon the day before, and that's how the course is made for the transformation. So you have to stay consistent for 28 days. It's a 28-day consistent course. If not, all the rest of the courses, people can, you know, do them one day, wait for a week, do another one. This one you got to be consistent with every day. So that's that. If you can't do that, you got to wait until you're able to do that. Okay?
Okay.
Because you can't piecemeal this type of course. This is an intense course. So whenever you can give yourself 28 days, do that. Start over again.
Yes. Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, yeah, baby. You got to start over again.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're into it. This is serious. This is serious. You got to commit yourself.
I am serious with this. And
perfect.
And I'm
on your calendar, write down, you know, whatever, it's a half hour or it's 15, I forget what it is, but write down that time. Maybe do it the same time every day. That might help you. But you need to definitely, you can't skip a day with this. That's very, very important. That's part of the healing of this course, of the transformation. And that was really given to me very strongly with my guides when they created that course. They said, this is something you have to tell all these students. They got to be consistent every day because we're building up that energy every single day. And that's really true, really, really true.
Yes, and I can kind of feel that because then when I come back to it, I feel like I've kind of lost the flow of it.
Right, exactly right. You lost the flow. The energy's down again, so you got to build it back up again. So that's why you got to start all over again. And that's fine because, you know, when you start all over again, you'll get new things the first day. You'll get new things in the second day.
Okay, well, I guess I'll have to break out a new spiral and start over again.
Start over again, and don't beat yourself up for it because, you know, just like the lady at the very beginning we talked about, maybe there's something there that's holding you back from wanting to complete it. So maybe you need a little discovery time beforehand and ask yourself, do some questioning and assessment and ask, well, you know, what in my life don't I finish? What can I commit to? Why can't I commit to something? You know, I don't want to get too analytical on it, but, you know,
right.
That might be an opportunity for you to look at things. So look at it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I ask a question?
Of course.
Okay. So my question as a beginner is in regards to the meditation.
Okay.
You know, just meditating itself.
Yes.
So I'm finding, you know, there's guided meditations and where you go kind of through a long grounding, connecting,
yep.
centering exercise.
Yep.
And I've had great positive experiences with that.
Great.
And then there are those where you have a very short prep grounding time. And I also have a positive experience with that. So I guess my question is, as I develop, is a long beginning necessary, or does this skill develop over time, meaning as you develop
yes.
your meditative skills, less, I don't know what to call it.
Less prep time, I guess you could say.
Is needed? Is that
right. You won't need it as much. You won't need it. But when you get to that silent space of awareness, I mean, if you get there, the more you do the meditation, the quicker it'll be to get there. You don't have to go through all of those grounding, you know, you won't have to, because it'll get to a point where that's already known. It's already, that's, as I'm sitting here, I've already know this space. This space is, I'm grounding myself. You'll get to that point where you don't need to anymore. But there's a great book I want you to write down. I want you to write this down for me,
okay.
because I think you should get this book. It's called Demystifying Meditation, and it's by David G. And David G. and I have worked together, and he taught Deepak Chopra how to meditate. And he's phenomenal. He's a genius when it comes to meditation. And he talks about meditation, it could be anything, just being aware of something, being aware of the breath, being aware of a tree, being aware of the color of something. That's meditation. So it's putting yourself in a different level of consciousness and awareness, basically. So I think that will help you, because I don't want you to overthink it. Okay?
I probably am.
And remember, when meditation, and a lot of people get into this hard part with meditation, in that the monkey mind comes in. So when you're sitting there and you're centering yourself and you're grounded and you're working with your breath, all of a sudden you'll get a thought about, oh, what should I have tonight? Should I have vegetables or chicken? What should I eat tonight for dinner? Or, oh my goodness, that next door neighbor with the you know, lawn, when are they going to stop mowing their lawn? Or whatever it might be. You'll get these little things and you're like, oh, I have to meditate. So what you want to do is you want to observe those little thoughts that come into your head, but just let them pass by. Don't put any emotion to it. Say, go into it, okay, I'm going to have these little thoughts coming into my head. That's part of the meditation. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to attach any emotion to it. I'm going to observe it and let it go by. Observe it and let it go by. That's fine, okay? And that's the secret of meditation, is you can observe things, but you don't have to attach yourself to them. You see?
Okay. Because, you know, you also spoke earlier in different circumstances to sit quietly for 15 minutes.
It's really, really good. So what I do with that is, and that's a meditation as well. So meditation with that is I sit quietly, I close my eyes, I close my eyes, put myself in a dark room. I use my closet. I actually have a walk-in closet I sit in, and I'm just quiet. And I can't be interrupted by anybody. And I work with the breath. And I just imagine really nicely like a light coming in with each breath. And I bring my breath all the way down to my toes, okay? The breath comes in all
right.
the way to my toes. And as
right.
I exhale, I let go of stagnant energy. I let it go, and it's a relief. And I work with that. And I don't stay with it. When it's over, when it goes away, it goes away. My mind will go. But I'm just sitting there in the quiet. And you'll start getting into that. You'll love that. I mean, 10 minutes into it, you're there. So that's might be a good one for you, too. Try all different ways, because it's different for each person. So that's something you should know, Karen. It's different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
Try all different ways.
Okay. Okay.
All right? I'm not worried about you. Go back to your 28th day when you're ready.
Okay.
I write it down in a book. You know, write it down on your schedule, because I think you're kind of a schedule person. So
yes.
If you have it written down a certain time, then you'll do it.
You're
so
right.
So maybe that would be good for you. When you're ready. When you're ready.
Okay, James.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen. Bye, love.
Okay. Should we tell them about the treat, James?
Yes, we have a very, because of the holidays, we've come up with a very special experience for you. Emily, go right ahead.
No, we just thought people might, if they wanted to check another course, it's, you know, December's a busy month and it's great to stay grounded. We are offering a 20% off coupon code for you guys. And the code is LOVEYOU, that's spelled out. So it's LOVEYOU20. And that's good through Monday. So if there's something that's calling you, even just a little meditation, it applies to that too.
Yeah, anything in the school. That's LOVEYOU20, anything in the school. And even after the phone call, a lot of you might be interested, oh, I like the 28th day, or oh, I went to psychic portals. So there's a whole bunch of different things there. And the HSP, the highly sensitive person, that was very successful, wasn't it, Emily, with a lot of people?
That was, and it's a short course, too. So that's a perfect thing, actually, to do now.
Yeah, the HSP is a great course. It really, really helps you with protection. People look about protection. They want to protect themselves from other people's energy, especially around the holidays. Hello, a lot of people throwing things at you. Got to know how to be in your space and don't give your power away.
The highly sensitive person. And then the other thing is we have A Day in the Spirit World and Bringing Heaven Home, which are both really cool courses to do during December because they involve spending time sort of in heaven or connecting with your loved one. Heaven Home is spending it more of an elevated and connecting with spirit, and The Day in the Spirit World is connecting with a loved one in spirit, and it's one full day, which is super fun.
And it's a full day, and I bring you into a space of how to leave your body, being aware of your consciousness, and I go through different levels of consciousness, and I work with you on an exercise of breathing in and breathing out and going higher and higher, and I guide you through it, and it really is cool. When you get to the Golden City and you go there, and it's really cool. It's a really great, great course, and a lot of positive feedback from people that have taken it, and you can take it over again too. Once you've taken it once, you can do it again. It helps you to leave the body, consciousness, even though those are mediums or psychics. It can help you to get out of the human part of you and to that higher space. So good, very good. Well, thank you, Emily. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
And happy holidays.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.